Well, don't go away, because next on CBS Radio's Comedy Time are those two zany characters of many characters, Bob and Ray.
And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Again, everybody, and welcome back to Bob and Ray Show. You here in the studio audience, you're going to have an active part in today's show, we might point out. And those of you at home, we hope will participate mentally, so to speak. Communicate with us some sort of way.
Do you want me, Blue Eyes, to take the microphone now and go down into the studio audience?
You're calling me Blue Eyes?
No.
Because you have the blue eyes. And what kind of color eyes do I have? I have to look at my driver's license all the time to see. Kind of brown, hazel, or... You don't much care, right, audience? Okay.
They didn't give us much reaction to that. But I am going to take our portable microphone down now, and we have a very interesting question, I think, to pose
him.
To some of our guests.
Not him. No.
I want to pick out... I think maybe you'd be fine. Let me have him. He'd be good. I tell you, have your name, sir, before we go any further.
You mean my name, my real name, or the name that I use at hotels?
Well, whatever name you care to give us.
Ford Frick.
Mr. Frick, our question has to do with the visit by Mr. Khrushchev to this country. He still has a short time remaining on his visit. In fact, right now he's on his way, I think, to Pittsburgh. We thought maybe in the last few days, you people would have some suggestions on places he should see.
Well, I think he ought to go up and talk with that fellow that's been on your program, that Lawrence Fechtenberger. He's been out in space and everything. I think it'd
be... Oh, that's just a story. Lawrence Fechtenberger is a figment of our imagination.
Oh, well, I thought... Well, I feel like a perfect chump.
Well, that's all right. How about this fellow sitting next to you? Do you have any ideas about what he should see?
I don't know. I suppose maybe he ought to see Yankee Stadium.
Well, that might be something good. He's been to San Francisco.
This year I had wonderful luck with my tomatoes. Maybe he should look at those. The big beef kind.
Yeah.
Look, they're about that big around.
That's good size.
I think he'd be impressed with it.
He's seen quite a lot of agriculture, I think, and maybe places of historic interest might be better.
Ma'am? How about the... Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, you had something more to say?
Well, I thought maybe he could be taken over to one of those wig makers they have in New York. You know, like a lot of those actors that are bald?
Yes.
They come out looking like they got a big head of hair.
Yes, I know. Well, he's aware of those things. How about you, man? Do you have any ideas about the subject?
Well, I don't rightfully know what he should see.
Because he doesn't have too much time left to...
No. I think he ought to maybe see Pittsburgh. I think...
Well, he's going to. He'll be there tomorrow, I think.
Oh, really? That's what I would suggest you'd see, Pittsburgh. It's a nice city, and it's heavily industrialized.
Yes, well, he'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
One more person. How about you, sir?
Well, I think you got to see Al Morningside. This a bus driver I know.
Why that?
Well, Al, he doesn't give an inch in an argument.
Uh-huh.
Now, you should see him in action on his bus. If a passenger gets smarter with him, wham, I mean, really. You
sound like a real crowd pleaser, isn't he?
Well, Al's something on wheels. No kidding. Al could straighten him out in a second. He does it all the time, both on and off the bus.
Tell me, is Al equipped to refute Marxian dialectics?
Oh, no. It takes about a second before he gets bored with talk.
Mm.
And then wham. I mean, he's a real plain guy.
Well, where can we find Mr. Al Morningside if we want to call Mr. Khrushchev's attention to him?
He lives at the Pacifist Club.
All right. So thank you very much. And I hope that Mr. Morningside doesn't flatten you for giving out his address. Back on stage now.
Nice going, Blue Eyes. Did a great job down there. And now, friends, get ready for a commercial message.
Hola, amigo. You want to know about stereo phonographs? Listen to my last bullfight on ordinary stereo.
Olé!
But now, Colombia Stereo 1. There is a corrida de toros. Real lifelike, magnífica. There is such a big difference in stereo phonographs. With most, all you get is a couple of speakers shooting in different directions. But with Columbia... Ah, hombre, you get fantastic stereo projection. What it does is to send circles of sound sweeping through every inch of a room. You are surrounded with live sound, live feeling, live passion.
Ole! Ole!
How they cheered me. Ask your Columbia phonograph dealer to demonstrate Stereo One by Columbia. Prices start as low as $39.95 for portables, $129.95 for consoles.
El picador! Who let the bull out?
This is Public Lawyer, episodes dedicated to the selfless conduct of those who serve the best interests of the public. Court-appointed attorney Vernon Stitz is such a man.
Now, how do you plead, prisoner, guilty or not guilty?
Well, I don't know.
Do you have benefit of counsel?
No. You see, Your Honor, I don't have a lawyer, to be honest with you.
Well, every man, woman, and child is entitled to the fullest protection of the law. Now, there are several court-appointed attorneys here in the courtroom. Would one of you please step forward to advise this man?
I will.
I can't see too well from here, but I suspect that that eager voice belongs to Vernon Stitz.
Maybe I'd better go it alone and take my chances, Judge.
No, the law is a complex thing, Mr. Flowers. I'm calling a 10-minute recess here so that Mr. Stitz can familiarize himself with the details of your case.
I appreciate that, Your Honor.
Now, would the prisoner please step forward?
Prisoner just stepped forward, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counselor. Now, after having conferred with his attorney, how does the prisoner plead?
Just a minute, Your Honor. I've advised Mr. Flowers not to plead guilty or not guilty either.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing, Counselor.
Your Honor, I'm willing to take the risk. There is a precedent for all this. The State versus Cosmo, October 1928. If the good judge will look it up, you'll find that Victor Cosmo pleaded neither guilty nor not guilty in October of 1928.
Well, if it's a legal duel you want, my hot-headed young friend, you'll get one. I was the presiding judge on that case, and the reason Mr. Cosmo didn't plead one way or the other was because he was hit by a truck before the trial and became deceased.
Judge, I think I'll go it alone. I don't want the court to do me any favors with three attorneys, especially this one.
Well,
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
On what grounds, may I know?
Some new evidence has come up that will be of interest to this court.
Counselor, there hasn't as yet been a trial. I haven't seen any kind of evidence.
Exactly, Your Honor. We're dealing with the pre-introduction of evidence before a trial, a totally new legal concept.
Oh, get out of here, Stitz. That's ridiculous.
Ha! That's just what I've been waiting for. An outburst from you, Your Honor. I move that this case be thrown out of court because of pre-trial prejudice on the part of the presiding judge.
Frankly, Counselor, I am prejudiced. I think you're a boob.
Judge, I didn't come with this guy. All he said to me during the recess was that we were involved in a desperate gamble for time, even before he heard what I was doing here. I think he's a nut, so I'll plead guilty.
So be it. Public lawyer, your letters have indicated a great interest in Mary Magoon's inn up in Turhan Bay, Maine, and with that in view, we've dispatched Wally Ballou there, and he has this tape recording to play for us now that he made, I think, the other evening.
Last Saturday.
All right, Joe, would you thread up that tape, please? The next voice will be Wally Ballou's.
Next voice you will hear will be that of me, Wally Ballou, 17-time award winner of Radio Diction, speaking to you from the veranda of the Mary Magoon Inn, overlooking beautiful Turhan Bay here on the coast of Maine. There's a goodly crowd assembled here. It's Saturday night in Maine. The sun set a scant hour and a few minutes ago. Mary is in the kitchen at the moment, and told me that as soon as we took the air, she has a little radio off the kitchen. As soon as she heard us come on the radio, she would come out chatting with us. Tonight, she is inaugurating the new entertainment policy. She is auditioning an orchestra that she may hire as a regular feature of the... Here she comes through the screen door now. Hello, Mary.
Huh? Well, Willie, hello there. How are you?
You hear us on the radio out the kitchen?
Yes, we have a small little radio set up there, and I was listening, and I heard you introducing me, so I hurried on in.
Fine. How does the crowd look to you from here?
I don't know how to judge. I know we only have four people, and three of them are ladies.
How many meals have you served today or this evening?
Well, I think only one is going to eat tonight. The others are just more or less sitting around eating the olives and the celery. I think one is ordered.
You have the 14 waiters standing by that you hired?
Yes, they're all standing by, ready to wait on the customers, providing we have enough.
Is that the salad boy over there?
Yes, that's Nicholas.
Uh-huh.
Nice boy. He's from Calais.
There seems to be a great deal of excitement in regard to this orchestra you've hired. Could you tell us something about that, and will we get a chance to hear them?
Yes, they're all over there. Well, there's four nice boys here in town, and they're lobster fishermen.
Uh-huh.
And in their spare time, they've all studied music, instruments. And there are about 10 of them, and they form this little organization, and they play for all the socials around town. And I thought... Real local Maine musicians.
Uh-huh.
And they're over there now. And I thought that the little music on Saturday night might help.
Right. Then there may be some dancing, I guess, a little bit later.
Well, we certainly hope so.
Somebody else shows up.
He's due to start playing any moment now.
Let's have a little sample of that Down East music there now, shall we?
All right, Vernon. Vernon, would you play...
Hey, yeah.
Will you play some music now for the radio folks?
Okay, there he is.
Something I don't like to see, those two girls dancing together. I don't
like that. Well, they don't have anybody else to dance with, I feel.
Well, I know this is the three girls and one fellow.
That's a swinging group there.
You think they're good? I don't know, really.
They certainly sound good to me.
Well, I don't know. They're just local boys.
I suppose they're more interested in lobster fishing than they are music.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Well, you can tell that, yeah.
Well.
What kind of music is that, Walt?
Oh! And so, from Mary Magoon's
Girls, come on now. Off the floor. Just listen to the music.
Overlooking beautiful Turhan Bay on the coast of Maine, we brought you the music of Vernon, what's his name?
Vernon Peabody,
his trumpet, his trombone, his saxophone, his guitar, and his orchestra. And now this is Radio's Wally Ballou returning up to New York.
That sounds pretty good, huh?
Boy, I think she's got to find a discovery there.
I guess Texas is out of luck. When he hears that, he'll realize that he has had it as far as Mary Magoon's in.
Boy, I don't know how she can afford to pay an outfit like that, though. With only three people in the place.
I don't know as they really understand how much they should be paid, you know. I think their primary interest is lobster.
That's probably true. So we're almost
if he gives them a free meal, they're happy.
Sure. We have preview time coming up, and what's it going to be for tomorrow, Terry?
Well, tomorrow, you'll hear the sound of a mystery car in just 10 seconds.
Here then is a preview of tomorrow's mystery car sound.
Until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you all to write if you get worried.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Burt Parts and Hermione Gingo keep your funny side up every weekday on the CBS Radio Network.
And on KNX, AM and FM, CBS Radio in Los Angeles.